Weekly Dose of Fat, show number 41 for January 30th, 2015.
That was me. That is JK and my three droogs. That is Sven, Gomez, and my shadow. And we sat at the River West Milk Bar, trying to make our Barazadukes what to do with the evening. The Nut Factory Milk Bar sold Milk Plus Felicet, or Synthamesque, or Weekly Dose of Fat, which is what we were drinking. This would sharpen you up and make you ready for a bit of the old ultra-violence.
Are you on the ether or the peyote? Say hello to my friend Sven.
Hey, hello, everybody. Joining us in the studio today is JK.
Hey, this show is sponsored by the Surly Pugsley. Pick your flavor, use your Surly Superfan coupon, and get your fat on. Learn more at surlybikes.com.
All right, so what's on the show this week, JK?
On the old schedule, we have one of the fastest ladies of fat bike racing, April Morgan. Sven's going to talk about Summit, travel talk, beer with beards, and we'll be taking calls to qualify listeners to win a megalith from State Bicycle Company.
You just got your megalith to test, didn't you?
Yes, I have. I've been rolling around today, making excuses for adventures.
It looked really good in the snow because it's very colorful.
Yes.
Yeah, that's going to be a very photogenic bike.
Photogenic.
You know what we got now? Beards and beer, beards and beer. Beards and beer. So I made up a skit.
Do tell about your skit making.
All right. We're all going to look at the person to the left and say one word about their beard.
Okay.
And then after that, we're going to look to the person on our right and say one word about their beard. Then that's going to be that person's lumbersexual Northwoods name.
I got a pen because I don't think I'll remember mine.
It's not like we're recording this or anything.
So I'm going to go striped chop.
All right. Okay.
I'm going resplendent wavery.
I see the wavery.
Resplendent. Okay. And I am going to go manly and scraggly.
So who gets what name? That's where I got kind of lost.
That's why he wrote him down.
Well, JK is like manly chop.
Manly chop? What a good lumbersexual name.
Hey.
In a plaid jacket and a name like that, you'd be a legend.
Yeah, he could be either scraggly resplendent or resplendent scraggly.
Oh, resplendent scraggly.
I've got
alphabetical after all.
It's striped wavery.
Striped wavery.
Striped wavery.
Or
it looks wavy, but wavery.
Wavy striped.
Wavy striped.
Or waverly.
I can't read my own writing.
Waverly striped would be nice.
There you go.
That'd be a gentleman lumberjack name. Well, that's the beard segment of the show, and everybody knows that we have to have a sponsor for each segment. So today's beard report is brought to you by Otter Wax Beard Oil. Visit otterwax.com for all of your beard and underarm hair products.
They make products underarm hair.
Oh, they make something else, though. I can't remember what it was. I just made up the underarm product. So I suppose you could oil your pit hair.
You can braid it. I don't know why you couldn't oil it. So they had this thing out in Jackson, a shirt. You know, they've got all the T-shirts. Mm-hmm. It had a bear head and a deer back. And it was called a beard.
Beer.
I never saw that before. How clever is that?
You must not be traveling the internet as much.
I don't. I guess.
That's smart.
So what do we have for beer today, Randy?
We've got Founders All Day IPA in your can. Well, it comes in cans.
It's a session ale.
There it is. It's in a green can. It's got It's got a wood-sided Jeep Wagoneer on it.
That'd be a sweet ride right there. I wonder if any of those are still around that aren't all rusted out.
Habana.
That's why we're normalizing relations, so we can get all those kick-ass vehicles they have down there.
Ooh.
Kind of a little citrusy or something.
Half citrus and half pine.
And, and just a...
Zero apricots.
And just
zero
a,
apricots.
Just a tinge of almost weed-esque flavor.
Four? Says all-day IPA. And
yeah, well, if I had 4.7, I could do that.
Yeah. Just like a regular beer.
Yeah. And it doesn't taste like beer water.
Beer water is bad.
Beer water fuel, which is fine. Founders exactly is what good. It needs to be. This is definitely not that. This
42 IBUs. So says the can.
That's the International Bitterness Unit.
So that's, says the can.
Oh, wow.
So say we all.
Remember,
what else do you have in your quiver? I wasn't ready. Anyone know that?
Remember, remember all your ex-girlfriends? Each one was a bitterness unit.
Click bang or click farm.
42 ex-girlfriends in each can.
Yeah. That's not there. Well, that's fortunately that's not very many girlfriends. So it's not that bitter.
Exactly.
Right.
Just bitter enough.
Well, I got 87 on the ye old beer advocate.
Is that the very good?
I believe? That is at the very good
very
level.
Very good level?
5,400 ratings. Exactly. Exactly. 54. Not even.
And it was up on sale at my local supermarket for $16.99 for a 12-pack.
Well, thank you for bringing it. It's tasty brew.
And I obviously drank six of them before I brought them here. So. You know how that go. So, you know what comes after the beer segment? That's
interview segment?
The guest spot. You know who we got this week?
Do tell.
I do.
We have our special guest coming up, April Morgan. Come on back.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio. Jumbo USA builds innovative, technically superior bicycles that are race-ready, ride-driven, and tested to withstand the harshest conditions and tackle the toughest and roughest terrain. Learn more about Chumba's American-made Ursa and coming soon, Ursa Major, at ChumbaUSA.com.
Hey, this is George Coppitz from Broken Spoke Bike Studio. When I'm not riding the bike or in the shop, I'm listening to Fat Bike Radio.
Please welcome to the show, 45 North Pro Rider, April Morgan.
Welcome to the radio program, April. April is...
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, right on, April. So you're the current points leader in the Great Lake Fat Bike Race Series. How's that going?
Yeah, it's going well so far. There's been three races so far this season, and I have managed to win two of them so far, so leading the series, but only by a slight margin, that's for sure.
Yeah, I checked the website. 5 points between you and Danielle Musto. That's pretty close.
Yeah, it's definitely a close series so far, and different from last year. So last year, I actually didn't make the trips out to Michigan. So to talk a little bit about the first three races of the year so far. First one was the Selfish Chase that took place here in St. Croix Falls. Second race was Fat Chance, which was up in Traverse City, which is a pretty long drive for me, and then the third race was just recently in Grand Rapids, and that was the Vivant Brewery Farmhand Race, and actually ended up staying with fellow teammate and competitor Daniel Musto at her place, so she put me and my husband up for the weekend, and so certainly, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think Daniel is somebody that really got me excited about the sport of fat biking a couple of years ago, and you know, she's kind of taking under her wing a bit. I've been really excited about the series. And this is the first year that I've actually made a commitment to really target going after all eight of the races. And so it's certainly probably the biggest challenge in trying to find a way to put together all of the travel and and whatnot, but certainly it's certainly a friendly, competitive environment, and it's fun being in her hometown and, you know, her mechanics joking about how they're going to mess with my bike and, you know, things like that. So it's certainly a friendly, playful competition, and we've developed a pretty good friendship over the last 2 years and even have had a chance to race some team races in the summer, the Wausau 12 hours. So certainly she is my toughest competition, but one of the things that's really neat about the series this year is, you know, it's really the growth in the women's field. I think, you know, a couple years ago, the first year or so, there might be, I don't know, 3-4 of us women at one of these races, and now it's pretty commonplace to have a stacked field of, you know, 5 to 10 women that toe the line, and seeing some of the biggest women's fields that we've seen, especially for fat bike racing. So it's been fun so far, and we're really only three races in. We're 5 races still to go.
Right on. So the race series moves to your home state of Minnesota for the next few races. Do you feel better about racing closer to home? You know, chasing the championship involves a lot of serious winter travel. How's that work for you?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a relief to be racing closer to home. The race this coming weekend is the 10 cycle Fat Tire Wapit, which actually is in Minneapolis, which is pretty much my hometown. So I'm really looking forward to sleeping in my own bed on Saturday night. And certainly that does put me at ease a little bit. I like the fact that I was able to go on the road here in January and managed to win one of those races. It's definitely difficult. So I think the travel definitely takes its toll. Certainly just not just from the time in the car perspective, but just really trying to, you know, manage to get in good training between the races. It's a really compact race season. So there's just some challenges in that travel aspect of it. And definitely ones I knew going into, you know, being willing to kind of chase the series this year. And, but yeah, certainly now this coming weekend we'll be close to home. And then the following weekend's Cuyuna Lakes Whiteout, which is in Crosby, Minnesota. And so that's only about 2 hours for me. And then the next race after that, so it'll be 3 weekends in a row, is the Frozen 40, which is back here in pretty much the Minneapolis area. So it's certainly an advantage for me to be close to home. It makes the travel stress less and, you know, able to kind of rejuvenate in between races a little bit more. So definitely happy to be here in Minneapolis for at least in Minnesota for the next few weeks.
Well, cool. The way the series looks, since it's so tight right now, it looks like it's going to come down to the last race, which is the Fat Bike Berkey and Cable. Does it make it more difficult to prepare for a race course that you really can't preview until the day of the race?
You know, that's actually a pretty interesting question, and I absolutely love Fat Bike Berkey. It was by far my favorite race last year. It was the course conditions, like you said, I had no idea going into the race. Everybody said it's super fast, the course is amazing, but, you know, even up until the point of race morning, I had never ridden on those trails plenty of times in the summer, but never in the winter. So I don't ski, so I certainly had never skied on those trails either. Yeah, so it was interesting going into it, and, you know, but I think it kind of adds to the adventure, and really when I think about fat bike racing and, you know, and just all the travel that's involved, it's actually pretty rare that I do get the opportunity to free ride a course before the race day. It's certainly an advantage to be able to kind of know the course, but, you know, I think it actually levels the playing field a bit at a race like that Big Berkey, where everybody kind of goes into the race having that, you know, that same kind of, you know, they're all kind of starting in the same spot. You don't have a few local people that, you know, have ridden on the course a ton. It really kind of levels the playing field. And, yeah, I like that component of it. And, you know, you don't really know what's around the next corner. And, you know, to give you as an athlete in the race, you can kind of ride on the edge a little bit more and take some more risks. And, you know, I kind of enjoy that aspect of it. But, you know, certainly Fat Bike Berkey this year will, you know, it could very well be, you know, the series decider. I think, you know, if you have a series in a situation where you need a tiebreaker, that is the final race. And, it's a hilly one, which, certainly, makes it challenging, but it's also a very fast course, and, you know, you can really put down a lot of power in a race like that. So I'm definitely looking forward to Berkey, but I think we got another 4 races until then. So it's kind of interesting to think about it because it's only, I don't know, 6 weeks away, but we've still got another 5 races in the series left. So
Cool.
Winter goes by fast these days, that's for sure.
Yeah. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Right on, April. Good luck with the races leading up to the Berkey, and I'll be up there covering that for our illustrious website here. So I hope we can meet in person and maybe do a little chit-chatting up there. And thanks for joining us on the show today. Yeah.
You ought to come have a beer at the after party.
Awesome. It'll be at this.
Just have one beer. This is going to be over, right?
Right, right. I think this year the party's at the Sawmill in Sealy. So it'll be nice centrally located there, and we'll look for you, hopefully on the podium.
Right on. Well, thanks for being on the show, April.
I hope so, too. That'll be fun. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Bye.
Bye. You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Hi, this is Sonia Looney from Fat Bike. When I dream of long rides on powder and the weekly dose of fat with Sven and Gomez.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program. Here's Sven, a little recap of the Global Fat Bike Summit.
Yep. Well, I didn't want to leave Jackson Hole at all. That place is great. I'd love to live out there for at least 2 months a year.
I asked the dumbest question yesterday, too. I was like, did you have a good time?
Yeah, no. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
How was your trip?
I mean, you know, it was a lot of it was bike-oriented, which is great. And there was a lot of good riding, which is great. The mountains are something you just can't get anywhere but there that are as splendiferous as those mountains are.
That is a rather picturesque range of mountains.
When I was flying in, it was clear, and right out the window, it was like, bam, right in your face.
There's a reason why the Spaniards named them after tits.
Tetons. The Spaniards or these French peoples? One of these guys.
I thought it was the Spaniards.
Could have been.
But
could have been fur trappers, too.
Though. Las Tetons. Grande.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it was a day of land manager meetings. And I think the real take home for me from that whole land manager thing was, 2 years, 3 years ago, nobody had really done any planning yet. They started planning, then they started implementing, and this year there were finally some success stories about how these people have gained access for us to go riding in special places. And they're working hard to get us into really special places like the national parks. We did go on a ride in a national park. Granted, it was on a snow-covered road. Basically, it had been plowed, but not traffic-driven on it. Mm-hmm. And it was right at the base of the mountain, so if the clouds hadn't been there, it would have been kick-ass view. Wildlife around. But it's a first step, and I think the rangers see all these tours that these guys are doing out there and the interest in fat bikes, and I think it's making an impact. There was actually a person from the National Park at the summit and was enthusiastic.
And it is a low-impact silent sport.
So. Absolutely. I saw these really cool tracks right along the power line trail. You know, the power lines. I thought it was two tracks from like a big tracked machine. I'm like, that's the next step. Let people go out. Because you can go where motorized traffic is. That's motorized. Maybe that's the next step, is to be able to ride those power lines. Because I drove in that valley to the end of every single road. And you can't go any further because there's only one way out of there. Well, two ways out. Mm-hmm. And all the other roads are closed. And that whole huge area is closed to motorized traffic, mostly. Some of it's open to snowmobiles and whatnot. But, you know, and then they had the expo, which was really cool. There was a lot of people there. And short track fat bike racing, which is super crowd friendly. Some good pub crawl, you know, camaraderie. And I would recommend, you know, next year, if you have the opportunity to go as a spectator or as a participant in the expo. You know, it's not just for people planning. It was really kind of a big happy Fat Fest.
Awesome, man.
With beer.
Yeah.
And a lot of good beer, boy. I tell you what, they know how to make beer there in Jackson Hole.
Out west, they got it down.
Yesterday on the website, we had a report on the beer of the summit.
Right. So, hey. JK, you said you were going to go do a race on the south side.
South Said.
Yeah, the Fatty Ushku. Kozyushku, I think I'm pronouncing
it. Where did they even get that name?
It's a Polish general thing.
Kosciuszko.
There you go.
Yeah.
Everyone says it, and I can never get it right.
Yeah. You
know, in the 10th and Lincoln in Milwaukee zone.
In the barrio.
Yeah.
Yes, see.
Yeah. There was a lot of I stupidly had arrived from a different side of the park as the race was going on, the solo race, and ended up doing a little bit of my own off-roading on my road bike at the time. So I wasn't really thinking about it. But yeah, there's parts of that park that they're going to have to really readdress.
But that happens a lot in cyclocross situations.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You'd be surprised how resilient grass is.
Just the location that the park is in.
Yeah.
And the condition that it was going to need some sod.
We've got another.
They were doing the thing for it. But yeah, it was a cool event.
And you and Lunds heckled racers.
We tried to do a little bit of heckling. I mean, it was just a nice event. So you felt kind of bad if you were going to make somebody. Some people ate it in really weird places.
What was the chant? It was Kits and Carbon or something like that.
And lots of hugging.
Yeah. And hugging, yes, for the relay portion of the program. They had some great fire pits. Burned a couple Christmas trees. That was pretty nice.
Oh, Christmas trees
burned. Yeah, they burned all good. They burned delightfully. And then I had to flip one over because the other side wasn't taking because somebody watered it a little too well during the holidays.
So as not to burn their house down. That was pretty clever of them. Yeah. So, Gomez, you're heading on a big old sweep out west and northwest and north and west. What's going on out that way?
Headed to Anchorage for a week. Going to meet with all the Alaskan bike makers and Eric up at Revelate and meet with some cats that are making some solid bike boxes, bags out of carbon. I saw those.
They're doing a Kickstarter project on
that. Right. So I'm going to see those guys with the hard cases going to Homer. And going to do beach riding at the big Fat Tire Festival out there.
That's not a race. It's more of a
total festival.
Just get together, fun time thing.
And it's supposed to be a quaint little village on the edge of the mountains and ocean. So I've been dreaming about going there for a couple of years. So should be cool.
Dreams do come true at fatbike.com. See?
And then back to Anchorage to meet with the guys at Speedway, and then off to Salt Lake City to hang out and go to the Fat Bike Nationals. So, and cover that race.
See, is our friend April going to be there, do you think? She's not.
Nope. That's not all the way there. No, that conflicts with one of the races in the Great Lakes series. But I bet you Ned's there.
Bet you Deadly Nedley.
You know, Rebecca Rush will be there.
Amanda Carey will be there.
Yeah, we'll
get a lot of people there.
Adam said that he's going to head up with the folks from Boo. So that
means he kind of said, why not go, is what he told me. Why wouldn't I go?
And speaking of national championship races, the other national championship, the unsanctioned one at the Fat Bike Berkey, they pinged us this week and said, hey, February 1st, the prices go up $10. So tell your listeners, save $10 and register before February 1st. And they also told us that they have over 600 people already registered, and the cap is at 750 this year. So if I were you and I wanted to get my spot, I'd save $10 and
do it now.
So that's what I've got this week.
All right. We've got a caller on the line. Hey, caller.
My name's Fred.
Hi, Fred. How are you doing?
Pretty good. I'm calling you from Missouri.
Missouri? What's Fat Biking like down in Missouri?
Well, I got tired of riding a single speed I had, and I decided to get a fat bike, and it's literally saved my life.
Tell us more.
I am a congestive heart failure patient, and my doctor suggested that I ride my bike more. Well, with the arthritis and stuff I got too, I couldn't really ride my 26-inch Trek anymore, so I bought myself a bike through the mail, and it's got 4-inch tires. I won't say what company, I'll say Bike's Direct. I couldn't afford $1,600 surly. I had to get something that I could afford because I'm on a fixed income.
Right on.
Well, but I went, I, go ahead.
I was just going to say, fat bikes are fat bikes. However you get them is great.
I went from 313 pounds to 242 pounds since July.
Congratulations.
By riding every day. I ride every day. We got some neat trails out here. Got one called the Berryman that's just tremendous. And then we have, in town here, I'm in the town of Rolla, and we got a park owned by the Lions Club and the local bike shop, and the mountain bikers down here built some single track in the woods around the place. It's 4 miles, and I put 4 or 5 laps on that 2 or 3 times a week. And I've been getting better and better. My climbing's gotten better. My, as far as my health and losing weight, I've lost all that weight, and then I went from having so much damage to my heart that my heart has even improved.
Fantastic story.
But I really love it. I love your show. My wife and I listen to it every week.
She must be a tolerant woman. Right on. Well, you've been entered to win the...
She's very tolerant.
Very good. I've got some other callers. We're going to enter you to win that Megalith fat bike that we're giving away, too. So thanks for giving us a shout. And call in next week if you want to update us with what's going on.
Hey, I will. Have a good one.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Keep on riding.
Hey, who do we have on the line? It's Fat Bike Radio.
Is it me? Is it me?
It could very well be you, young man.
This is Marty Tank.
Marty Tank.
From
my man.
Oconomowoc, Wisconsin.
Oconomowoc.
How you doing?
Oconomowoc. We're doing very well. So,
I'm so glad to be on your show. So glad. So glad.
Marty, you are entered to win the Megalith, which you're going to love that bike. We have here one now that JK Livin is testing.
You know what? I want to share why I think it would be just awesome for somebody in my position, if that's okay.
Sure, yeah.
I own my own company, Tank Productions. I'm a videographer. And I've seen some people do some pretty utilitarian things with their fat bikes, and it got me to thinking, I had a fat bike and put a rack on the back of that. I could take my tripod, my slider, and carry my camera in a backpack and my lenses, and I could go to the moon and shoot awesome shots.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that we had texted a little bit back and forth about how we thought you could best carry your gear. And I know that we talked about a cargo fat bike, right?
Yeah, we talked about, you showed me a specific kind of rack that was kind of designed for hunting, but you could strap kind of anything to that, the plates, the racks that they fold. But at the end of the day, it seemed like it would be a little easier just to get a smaller tripod than to try to finagle something that would fit my existing kind of tripod that is kind of a, not really a travel, more of an in-studio setup.
Sure. Well, Marty, we have a queue full of calls, man. I really appreciate you calling in. You are entered to win the bike, and we will catch you on the flip side, my man.
All right, man.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Welcome to Fat Bike Radio. Who do we have on the line?
This is Logan Smith. I'm from Manhattan, Kansas.
Logan Smith from Manhattan, Kansas.
What's that brewery they got in Manhattan, Kansas?
What's the brewery in Manhattan, Kansas? Sven wants to know.
I'm a student. A student athlete here.
Oh, cool.
And, I'm a senior.
Nice. So this would be your first fat bike, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah,
so
I learned of them like 5 years ago, and I saw you guys' site, and so I thought I'd give him a call.
That is awesome. Well, you are entered to win. Do you have any questions for us or anything?
I guess I don't have any questions. I was surprised that I got on.
Well, cool. Thanks for calling, man. We're going to go on to the next caller.
All righty. Well, thank you.
Hey, welcome to the show. Who do I have on the line?
Hi. Kelly Peterson.
Kelly Peterson, how are you?
Yeah, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. So you called to enter our contest for the new bike.
Yes, I did.
For the Megalith.
That's,
Is this the cognition cap, Kelly Peterson?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Dude.
We no longer own cognition caps. Yeah.
That's all right. Yeah, but I just had to like,
we no longer own it. And we sold it to our friend in Fort Collins.
Oh. I still have.
Yep. So I'm on to actually, as we speak, I'm making crazy neck warmers.
Wow. Cool. Man, you moved to Manhattan, New York, and now you're back in Madison again, right?
I did. I was in Brooklyn and Manhattan for a while, but I actually just moved back because I realized I wanted to be home and closer to family.
That's so killer, man. We're so happy to have you back in the Midwest. You seemed really, really happy, though, in New York, too, from my Facebook stalking of you.
Oh, my God. Yeah, New York treated me so well. I feel like I did everything I wanted to do. I saw everything I wanted to see, and it was a fantastic year. Thank you guys for doing this.
Hey, no problem.
It's really fun. All right, well, I'll let you get to your other callers then.
Thanks for calling.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right, bye.
Welcome to the radio program.
Who do we have on the line?
Russell.
Russell, the Russell T. Jobes?
Got it.
Dude.
Russell wants to enter to win.
Dude, what's up?
You want to enter to win that fat bike, don't you?
So, Russell, what can we do for you today? Do you want fries with that? What's up?
Not much. Just got some work. Hope to get some snow this weekend and get some good riding in.
Did you have a good time at the Fatiushka race? You look kind of muddy after that thing.
Yeah. Fatiushka was a good time. Keeping the good spirit of the relay race, the fun part of it in. Unfortunately, we had very little snow, so it was quite muddy. But damn good time. Ben Cycles put on a real good event.
Now, were you wearing a kit during this race?
Yes, I was. I a little easier movement, and you're racing, so I decked out for it. So,
and
I saw you were wearing a Bare Knuckle Brigade jersey, so I think you were rocking the kit pretty good.
So did you?
Oh yeah, I was wearing the Bare Knuckle.
Who else was on your team?
I had Cooper with me, and then a new guy, John Baran, who had never ridden a fat bike before, so we have trade-off bikes with him.
Sweet.
Bringing another guy into the sport.
Another addict is born.
Yeah, we hope so.
Well, all right, Russell. We're going to take next call. Thank y'all for calling.
All right, thanks for all you do.
Hey, welcome to the radio program. Who do we have on the line?
Hello, this is Penny Grimmie from Pennsylvania.
What's up, Pennsylvania? Are you calling in?
I just wanted to give you guys that props on the show.
Thanks, man.
Another man that likes torture, apparently.
Hey, you guys ever been east here to the Dirt Fest we have in May?
No, but I want to go.
Absolutely. Yeah, I kind of blew past that on my way out to the East Coast and was kicking myself for not stopping in Pennsylvania. There's some beautiful terrain there.
I've been to the Punk Bike Enduro a handful of times.
Yeah, that's the one Dirt Rag runs out in Pittsburgh. The same guys are putting on the show here this spring, and I have it on good account from the event promoter. There's going to be some fat-specific activities. It will be a lot of fun. Guys ought to check it out.
All right. Well, we will definitely do that, man. I know I'm trying to remember the cat that runs that. His name is Aaron, or he's from Rothrock Outfitters.
Rothrock Outfitters. Evan Gross.
Yeah, Evan.
Throw a party, man.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well,
hope to see you there.
Yeah, that sounds good. Let's put that on the calendar. Thanks for calling, man.
Keep up the great work.
Thanks. Welcome to the Johnny Danger Show. Fat Bike Radio, who do we have on the line?
Gomez, this is Mark Barrett from Hammer Nutrition.
Dr. Mark, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, long time no see.
I know.
I thought I might see you at the Triple D, but your disappearance was noted.
Well, that's always it's always nice to be thought of. Like, where's Gomez? Yeah. Always leave the crowd wanting more. Especially in my case. So are you calling to enter to win that fabulous state megalith fat bike, Doc?
Well, if I win it, so be it. But I really don't need a new bike.
What are you riding these days?
Oh, what am I riding? I'm riding a Bear Grease.
Oh, very nice.
A carbon Bear Grease from our friend George at Broken Spoke.
Oh, nice. Nice. We love George.
Yeah.
Is it a white one or a black one?
Black one. Yeah, I'm really satisfied with it. Got the whiskey wheels on it and some Dillingers. Just put the spikes in today.
Yeah, me too.
So I'm ready to roll on the ice.
Are you going to be up at the Shell Track race?
Yes, I am. I wouldn't miss that one for anything. How about yourself?
I'll be up there for sure.
Cool.
Yeah, the rumor is that you're going to be race director.
I don't think so.
Ringmaster Ned.
Yeah. Well then maybe you can be on my team for the relay.
Maybe. I'm more up there for photography, and my daughter's got a birthday party right after that, so I'm going to be up there shooting photos for everybody and then cheering people on. But I'll definitely see you up there.
Well, you know, I'll pick anybody up as a teammate as long as you got a pulse.
There you go. Well, Mark, thanks for calling in the show. We have you entered to win the bike, and we're going to go on to the next caller.
Okay, sounds good. We'll talk to you guys at Shell Track.
All right, man. Welcome to Fat Bike Radio. You got Tarzan the Ape Man. Who do we have on the line?
This is Ox. What's going on, guys?
The Ox Man.
So what's going on, Bryce? So, got a question. Love your show. And I've got some, everybody's been talking about getting a tubeless. So I've got some rolling barrels with a Larry in the front and an 8 in the rear. And I'm wondering if those would be good to go tubeless with. Or you'd have any recommendations about getting some new wheels or a rim set for my bike. I got a Pugsley Necromancer.
You still running the stock rims on that bike?
Rolling Darrells.
It's still the stock Rolling Darrells.
They set up pretty well.
Yeah, they're not the simplest ones to do, but a Gorilla Tape and using a tube to set those beads before you even put sealant in there. And then once you set both beads with the tube, you take one side off, you take the tube out, you then set it so the bead that you've got loose is hanging down, put it on a bucket so gravity kind of holds that edge down, and then blow it up without any sealant in it, and both beads will seat, and then put your sealant in through the valve, and it'll work. I don't think you need to necessarily get a new rim at all. Those will absolutely work. Now, you have tires that have probably, been through the war, so you need to get those beads just as clean as you possibly can and take a scrub brush to your wheels and get everything clean and all the debris out of there before you start. And it's an adventure.
You make sure there's no imperfections or anything on it. Go from there. If that doesn't work, obviously, then I should try some new tires for some reason, if it doesn't work.
You know, how long have you been on those tires?
I've been using them for a good 2 years now.
Well, most of the time, it's the sidewalls that go on fat bike tires before the tread goes, especially that Nate's got a ton of tread on it. As long as they hold air tubeless, they'll be good. But I really think that you should make a go of going tubeless with your existing setup, and it'll make that bike easier to pedal and save you just a teeny bit of weight.
It's always nice to make it easier to pedal.
I like that kind of feeling. All right, Ox, thanks for calling it, man. I really appreciate you calling, and we're going to go on to the next caller.
Thanks, man, and we'll see you guys at Fat Bike Enduro.
Enduro.
Later.
Bye.
Or Snow Bike Enduro, whatever.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to Fat Bike Radio. It's Gomez. Who do we have on the line?
How's it going?
Oh, it's going good. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Called in to win a free fat bike.
Nice. What's your name?
Yeah, what's going on?
We just need your name so we can put it next to your phone number so you can win the bike, bro. You can give me your nickname or code name, you know, if you're deep undercover and whatnot. I understand.
Oh, code name, huh?
I don't know.
All right. I'll just give you my real name. How's that?
All right. Fair enough.
All right. All right, my name's Chandler.
Chandler, that's a nice name. Hey, you got any other questions? Did you just call in to win the bike, or do you want to shoot us a question?
Oh, I'm just listening in, man. I don't really have any questions. I've never heard you guys before, so I decided I'd call in. I mean, that's about it.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. We got another caller waiting. So you're entered to win the bike. Peace out, and thanks for calling.
Thanks, man.
You got Dr. Johnny Fever on Fatback Radio. Who do I have on the line?
Greg.
Greg, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing?
I'm doing well. So you're automatically entered to win our Megalith Fat Bike from State Bicycle Company. Do you have a question for Sven, JK, or I?
Actually, no. I was just listening and checking you guys out, and a friend of mine told me about you guys and kind of tuned in tonight and then posted this, so... And saw this and thought I'd call in and try to win myself a fat bike.
Well, killer, dude. You are entered. We got you down. We're going to move on to the next caller. Thanks for calling, bro.
Cool. Have a good day.
Welcome to the show. Who do I have on the line?
Hey, you got Adam Hansen in East Aurora, New York.
Adam, how are you tonight?
Good. Yourself?
Fantastic. Hey, thanks for calling into the show. You're automatically entered to win the Megalith Fat Bike. You got a question for Sven Gomez or Mr. J.K. Levin?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Right on.
I've never actually ridden one of these bikes before.
Okay.
I have to imagine, just being a mountain biker, that it's got to be a little bit more difficult with these big, fat tires. Is that true, or is this just something that I made up in my head?
You would be quite surprised at how nimble and easy to pedal fat bikes are. Now, if you're going up for 6 miles straight, you're going to notice a fat bike is not going to be as easy as your regular mountain bike. But when you're riding in the snow, you generally don't ride those big climbs. You ride more moderate. On the beach, you have a lot of rolling resistance, but you have very low gear. And these bikes now, these days, are down to the 22 to 28 pound range. So they're not the 34 to 38 pound bikes that they were even just 5 years ago. Things are just getting lighter and easier. And really, the first time you jump on one, you're going to know. It's very mountain bike-like feel, but somehow it brings me back to being a kid. It's just so big and bouncy and fun, and it's that sounds stupid, probably, but
Gary Fisher even said it.
There you go.
It brings you back to what made mountain biking great in the first place.
Yeah. So get your legs over one, then you got to try it, man.
Hey, can I ask the second question too?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just bringing back the mountain biking thing. I go down to the Outer Banks in North Carolina. About once a year, and I took my mountain bike down there, and I went, oh, yeah, it would be a good idea to take it out onto the sand and get stuck down into the sand. Do you think this kind of bike might actually work on the sand as well?
Oh, absolutely. I actually did a 5-day tour along the Outer Banks and down to South Core Bank, and did extensive riding along the beach. They have some beach closures for mating birds, the piping plover and oyster catchers. But they have a hotline and everything, so you can look at the National Seashores hotline, and all of that is totally rideable, my man. And they don't know about these bikes at all down there, I'm telling you. Even the ranger that I called and said, is it legal to ride on the beach? He was like, oh, yeah, it's legal, son, but there's no way you'll ever be able to ride a bike on the beach. And it was all rideable.
That's awesome. That's great to hear.
Well, cool.
I'd love that opportunity to try that out.
That would be a great place to do it. Lots of cool stuff to see. Lots of flotsam and jetsam and shells and surf fishermen and lots of cool stuff. South Core Banks was the bomb, was like so pristine and no people down there.
Yeah, that's what keeps it special. That's why those go down there.
Well, cool, man. Thanks for calling. We're going to go to the next call.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. You have a good night.
You too.
Hello?
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks.
Who do I have on the line?
This is Jordan Peters from Kansas.
Jordan, welcome to the show. You are entered to win that Megalith State Bicycle Company fat bike. Do you have a question for Sven Gomez or Mr. J.K. Levin?
No, I just was calling to...
Calling to get that fat bike. All right, brother. Well, you are entered. We got you written on the list. So good luck.
All right. Hell yeah.
And we're going to go on to the next caller, bro. Have a good one.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye. Hey, welcome to the radio program. Who do we have on the line?
This is Pat Smaggy. How you doing?
Pat! Dude, how are you?
Hey. I'm doing well, just hanging out in sunny Arizona right now, but for the first time in a very long time, I'm actually missing the winter and missing the snow.
Well, you can always go up to the mountains in Flagstaff and get yourself a little dose of snow in Arizona.
Yeah, I've been debating that, but I might just have to wait to get back home, and hopefully by then we'll have some snow back there, hoping to get back next month for a couple of races. And yeah, I haven't heard much, but it doesn't sound like we have too much for a base right now, so hoping that'll change in the next couple of weeks and I can get back there and do some real riding.
Killer, man. You've been touring all over the West. I've seen you've sent us a few pictures. You've been posting on Instagram, all part of your new gig as the Fatbacks ambassador, right?
Yeah, definitely. Really excited about that. At first, I gotta thank a company called the Ryan Young Products, who import the Sherco motorcycles that I ride. They actually support me to go on a trip pretty much the last 5 winters or so to come out west and ride motorcycles. But once I got the fat pack back gig, started planning a few different stops here and there, and tried to get some interesting photos and videos and stuff, and just been having a blast riding places that I've kind of always wanted to ride, and now that I have the fat back, it's like, man, I got to do them. And yeah, started in Wisconsin and just came back from California. Actually, I was out there for a couple of weeks and back to Arizona. Staying in Phoenix right now and heading to Sedona after this. So
definitely
looking forward to getting back up there again, and got plenty of stops planned out on the way back home, but having tons of fun on the new bike and seeing what it can do and how many more options I have now. It's pretty awesome.
So killer, man. Now, going from you rode a first generation, the old original Blue Muckluck before you became an ambassador, and now you have a Fatbacks ITI killing carbon Corvus. And why don't you tell us, like, is that night and day? Now, I know you ride probably the finest motorcycle. Pat is the AMA motorcycle trials champion. How many times over? 6 times, something like that, Pat?
Seven now, actually.
Seven now. See, I'm sorry about that. I got to keep up with that. So was it like just a quantum leap in lightness and handling for the trials kind of riding that you do?
You know, it was. I was pretty surprised. I had never been on a carbon bike before. Just kind of always got him up and felt the weight and always been surprised about that. But yeah, coming from the full aluminum bike, pretty much since I got that bike, I knew I wanted something better. I mean, I had a lot of fun on it, but I knew there was a lot more to offer. And yeah, I had been pretty much since I got it, I had been searching out another one, what was going to be next. And with this program coming up, it was the perfect chance to get on one. And yeah, the first ride I took, I mean, the first thing you notice is the weight. There's quite a bit less. And yeah, it's definitely been helpful for the type of riding I do. And it's actually opened up a little bit more stuff that I'd never really had thought about riding. Like now I pretty much will see a hill and see how far I can get. And even if I can't make it, I hike the bike up and ride back down, and been having a lot of fun doing that. Something I never really looked at doing. And with that bike and the lightweight, it makes it easier to carry if you have to. And you can also ride further up some of the loose and nasty stuff out here. There's a lot of kind of gravelly ground and sand and loose rocks and stuff like that. So it's been real helpful to get places I normally wouldn't have. Last year I took my 29er out here and pretty much just up to the normal trails and had fun. But with this Fatback, it just opens up so many more opportunities, and just been having a ton of fun riding, not just on the trail, but everywhere I go. And even a lot of the places that I go to ride motorcycle trials, it's like those are pretty much playgrounds now where I can either make my own trails or ride whatever I want or ride some of the motorcycle trails too. So a huge difference from the original bike, and definitely happy I'm on the program now, and hopefully it goes well, and hopefully they like the content I'm putting out.
Well, cool, man. You know, when you get back in town, we're going to have to we'll have to set up a time for us to get together and get you in front of our cameras and make a little edit of your awesome trials riding, man. You have got the skills to pay the bills.
Yeah, I try. It's definitely tough and something different, but yeah, I'd definitely be interested in doing something like that. Definitely try to get the bike out there as much as I can. That's the goal, and just as much fun. The more fun I can have doing it, the better. But yeah, definitely interested.
Killer, man. Well, thanks for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me on, and looking forward to racing with you guys next month.
Sounds good, man. Take care.
All right, you too. See ya.
Welcome to the radio program. Who do we have on the line?
Did I get a wrong number?
Thank God. It's Chewy.
Fucking can't even hide from you anymore. What the hell?
Chewy, welcome to the radio program. Hey, we're giving away this Megalith State Bicycle Company. Like single speed fat bike. It's right up your alley, my man. Made from steel. It's a real deal. For real.
What's new?
Well,
there's a new carbon bike out.
Really?
Somebody posted one. Was 18 pounds. What the hell is that all about?
That's a Lemaire fat bike. That, I don't know, did they drill holes in it or something to make it that light? I looked at it and I was like, all right, here's somebody that wants to prove that they can make a bike super light. And, all right, 18 pounds. That's super light for a fat bike. And it had a 1x11 drivetrain on it and a saddle that I'm sure would actually draw blood or something after a few miles.
And the rear chain rings are made out of tin foil to make it light.
Yeah, but it's a exactly. It's a Lemaire.
Exactly.
That bike's been around for a while, and I think that.
So have you seen it? Have you actually seen it in person? Because it looks really pretty.
I have seen a Lemaire in person, but not that actual one. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've seen plenty of the other ones, but I haven't seen that one.
Right.
Do you guys have any snow?
Just a teeniest little layer of snow over lots of ice. So, and actually, the lake riding here is awesome.
So, you know that Spinner and I are heading out next weekend.
Out to out to Tucson,
yeah,
right?
Out to Arizona,
right? Yeah.
Yep. Well, we're gonna go to kind of up by Phoenix, up by Prescott, called Cave Creek. Dirty and boys are putting on an Arizona single speed championship, and then we're gonna go hang out in Tucson and that area for a while. Then we'll head out to 24 Hours of Old Pueblo. So we'll go camp out to Old Pueblo and save a spot out there. So we're gonna spend 10 days camping in a U-Haul van.
Oh, nice, nice. I can't even. Don't even get me started. I'm going down a bad road. So 2 weeks in the desert, you and Chewy, and you gotta call in, and you gotta send me Instagram pictures. I wanna know reports because I actually want to be there. I'm going to Alaska, but I'll be missing all those things. Sounded so good.
I'm more nervous for Arizona Single Speed Championship than I am for 24 Hours of Old Pueblo. You know, it's a 24-hour race. You know, personally, they dumbed down the courses. It's still fun, but it's dumbed down pretty good because of the number of people riding at night. But the Arizona Single Speed Championship course, I don't even know if you can call it a course. Best I can tell is a bunch of guys with no jobs but out digging up cactus, making a trail in this Cave Creek area. So this is the first time these guys have ever said not only to make sure that I have plenty of tires with slime in them or go tubeless, that you better have spares with you with lots of slime and tubeless. So it's going to be ugly.
Just the way you like it, bro.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there'll be at least a tequila tree and a whiskey bottle hidden someplace.
Killer, man. You know what your call just did for you too? I think you're our first person that has two entries now in the hat to win this Megalith fat bike from State Bicycle Company. Thanks for calling WFAT. We got another caller.
See you guys next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
You're on WFAT FM radio. This is Gomez. Who do I have on the line?
Crystal.
Crystal, are you calling in to win?
Hello.
Are you calling in to win that Megalith State Fat Bike Company bicycle?
That's what I was shooting for, but I'm a little bit late.
Oh, is it past 9 o'clock? You're our last caller.
Right on.
All right. That's
it. She made it.
All right. Sven says you're in.
Awesome.
You're on the list. Do you have a question for us,
that's
last
like
caller? Anything you want to know about fat bikes?
Honestly, my boyfriend is working and he couldn't call in, so he made me do it.
All right.
So, honestly, he's the one that does all the biking, so.
All right. Well, you know, you gotta start hitting them to say, buy me a bike because I want to go because it's a lot of fun. And that's
the next line. He just got it.
That's super sweet. You're a good friend for calling in. And now he is entered to win the bike.
Awesome.
Thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you are the last caller. On this radio show. Welcome to the radio program. Who do I have on the line?
You have Jordan from Anchorage, Alaska.
Jordan! Dude, is it like probably 2 in the afternoon in Anchorage?
Something like that.
Jordan. So, I know you called to enter to win the bike and to make sure that I'm coming to Alaska.
This is true?
So, yeah, I'm coming next week, bro.
I got you down for the 4th.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're entered to win that fabulous bike. So,
well, thank you.
Do you have a question for Sven, JK, or I? And Jim's here too. We can make Jim talk.
No, I just wanted to put my name in for which was the best bike event for 2014.
Yeah. Go for it, dude.
I wanted to say that Talkeetna Trio is the best bike event.
Oh, Talkeetna Trio. Yeah, that's Greg's race, right? That's but it's up in Talkeetna. How does he manage all that?
Lots of fat bike history goes on in Talkeetna.
Yeah? All right.
Definitely, yep.
Well, we're going to make some fat bike history in Homer in a couple of weeks.
We are. We look forward to your presence.
Yeah, baby, I'm going to be there. You be careful what you wish for.
trust me, my stomach is ready.
All right, my man. Well, thanks for calling in, dude. Good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
See ya.
Later, bye.
You're tuned to Fat Bike Radio.
Hey, we're going to talk about links now?
Sure, let's talk about links.
All right. Well, that Mike Howarth link, unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm just going through that. I looked at the picks, just going through the picks where it was enough, and then I'm reading a little bit of the da-ding, da-ding, da-ding.
Unbelievable. Well, gorgeous stuff. People are doing amazing, amazing things with their fat bikes.
Yeah, it's sweet.
And we got our friends Olof and Lars over there in Swedish Lapland. That's their podcast.
You got it. Yep, those guys do a good job.
And then the other one that, I guess I got a couple. Hansi Johnson, man, at his best. He is a talented photographer. He has some awesome captures in that link. And then this Indie Fab 45 North flavored fat bike. That thing looks pretty bad.
I saw that splashed all over the internet. I was going to add a link, and then I'm like, well, there's already one there. So,
yeah, the owner is going to do a reader's rides with us on that bike.
Very good.
Thanks again to Surly for sponsoring the radio portion of today's broadcast.
That's all for this week, kids. Be sure to drink your milk and
milk plus.
Milk plus.
You have to bookend it, you see.
All right. So long.
Bye-bye. Adios, amigos. Ride those bikes. They like it when you ride them.
You've been listening to Fat Bike Radio's weekly dose of fat. Find us on the web at fat-bike.com/radio. We'll see you next time.